Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging around with us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Thank you for all of you, to all of you who have been subscribing lately and who continue to subscribe. We appreciate that very much. Our list is growing like crazy. And also thank you for those of you who write back the nice little notes about how much what I say to you means to you. And I that means a lot to me, and I appreciate it very much. Andre Carter is our guest, along with Jonathan Zook. Andre is the president and the CEO of Arimi, which is a Washington-based mobile and wireless consulting firm. He's also the author of the upcoming book, Little Blues, and which I'm pretty excited about. And his good friend Jonathan Zook is here, and my good friend as well. He's president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Andre, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Good to have you back. Hey, Jay-Z.
Hey. It's always good to be on with the world's nicest guy.
Yeah, exactly. and then you got Andre to get too. That's like a dream come true, isn't it?
It really is.
Exactly.
Okay, guys, thank you for being here. And folks, the reason that I've asked these two outstanding guys to be on our show today is because there are two top experts in the area of intellectual property. And as some of you know who've been listening to the show already today, that you know that today is the anniversary of the Gutenberg Bible in the mid 15th century. Johann Gutenberg invented the printing press with movable type, and he made the first Bible. And prior to that, the world was basically illiterate, and after that, the world became literate, and that's the reason why I consider the Gutenberg press to be the most important invention of mankind, and all other things that of any significance came after that. And Andre, I'd like your thoughts on what I just said.
Well, I mean, I think it's certainly a nexus point for intellectual property. I mean, the ability for people to recreate someone else's work is a key thing. I think it's a problem that most businesses are facing today, whether they know it or not. And I think it's the point where ideas became transferable. They became alienable, such that they are. Aside from me telling you about it, I can write something down and you can take it and try to make it your own or reprint it as your own. And so I think it's a pretty profound point.
Well, Jonathan, one of the things that I'd like to do is read what other people say and be inspired by their thoughts to write or create something of my own. And that's a pretty low-tech way to leverage intellectual property, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, the whole idea behind intellectual property is to create works that aren't inherently protected. You can't put a long fence around them, and so you protect them to incent people to spend the time they might otherwise spend putting down railroad tracks on written works or software or music, and then protect them so that they can become inspiration and be leveraged by the next one down the road.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that was a watershed moment for me, Andre, and Jonathan, you were there at the time because Andre was a guest of one of your Association for Competitive Technology fly-ins. Andre was one of the keynote speakers. Andre, there was a watershed moment for me when you introduced me to the Crossan Report.
Uh-huh.
When you explained, and I've used that many times. I've given attribution to Mr. Crossan in his report with regard to how assets have basically inverted in corporations over the last 20, 30 years. Talk to us about that a minute.
Well, yeah, if you look back in early as the mid-1970s, the notion of value in businesses on the markets and in America was about 80% dealt with tangible things that you could touch, property, computers, equipment.
Things that had serial numbers or were planted in the ground.
Exactly. Things that you could walk by and put a tag on, you know, the asset group can handle. And of course, the other 20% was something called, you know, goodwill, usually, which was this anonymous thing. People like us. They love us. But also
patents and systems and things like
that. Exactly. What the business knows and what the business knows that's unique, you know, vis-a-vis its competitors.
Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that thought a second, Andre. Hold on to that thought. When we come back, we're going to get Andre to tell us how that has changed over the last 20 or 30 years. We got more to come as we talk about our intellectual property journey. It's 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. That's Stevie Nicks on vocals. That's Andre Carter on bass and Jonathan Zook on drums. Andre Carter, ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Irimi, and Jonathan Zook, the president of the Association for Competitive Technology. And I'll remind you that Andre's book is called Little Blues. It's coming out before too long, and I can't wait to talk to you about it some more and introduce you that book to you. Andre, we got to get that puppy out, haven't we?
We do.
Let's get back to our discussion. You were just telling us about how things were 20, 30 years ago with regard to corporate assets. If you looked on their balance sheets, of the value that they considered the company to have, 80% was tangible, 20% intangible. What's happened since then, according to Kenneth Crossan?
Well, since then, it's flopped the other way. Now about 73% of assets, somewhere between 70 and 75, depending on which study you look at, is intangible assets, patents, copyrights, know-how, works that come from the human mind. And it's a whole notion of what we know and how we do things and
what we're leveraging.
Exactly.
What are we leveraging? We're not leveraging.
Where it's being created.
We're not leveraging stuff. We're leveraging ideas, aren't we, Jonathan?
Well, it's all right. I mean, a big part of this is where you're starting to. I mean, it's your intellectual capabilities are something that are a lot more of an equalizer than your physical property ever was. I mean, you know, there's a lot less of an intellectual aristocracy because you come up with ideas. It doesn't matter who you are. You have the opportunity to profit from them. And so I think inherent in this is a transformation that's particularly interesting to small businesses.
Well, and Jonathan, exactly. I'm glad you made that connection. That's what I wanted you to do, because I suspect that Kenneth Crossan did his research more on large companies, Andre. But Jonathan, you and I know, as and Andre does too, but in your bit working with small technology companies, Jonathan, this inversion of assets is happening across the marketplace, isn't it? Not just in big companies.
That's right. I mean, it is across the marketplace, and it helps to transform the marketplace. So instead of having an economy essentially made up of a few very large businesses that have control over physical assets, you're starting more and more to see this explosion of small businesses that come out of a kernel of an idea and are able to do business and add value because of their intellectual property.
Mm-hmm. And Andre, I believe that's what's happening out there is that small business owners are behaving this way. They're behaving 80-20 intellectual tangible. I think that they're structuring their businesses, they're training their employees, they're behaving that way because it's the natural flow of things. It's an intuitive thing for them to do that. But I'm not sure that small businesses are as aware of what they're doing in terms of being, you know, more intellectual about it, more intellectually proactive about it. I think there may be more reaction than proaction, and I'd like to see more proaction. What do you think?
I totally agree. You walk into a lot of businesses, and they're doing things in response to what the bank wants or the investors wants or to better serve their clients, which are all great motives. But at the end of the day, if you step back and you look at it, see really where it's headed, where the value is for your business, where the best long-term security is for your business to be around and for you to be able to take care of the folks that work with you and for you, you know that that's around your intellectual property. And when you key into that, you can set up a strategy that deals with managing the value, you know, and mm-hmm. and that's the key. I mean, you know, if your money's in the mattress, don't put your guard dog by the safe.
Jonathan, we need to write that down. Would you write that down for me and email that to me?
I will.
I got it. Yeah.
All right. Good. That one. That's a great little nugget there, Andre. I knew I could count on you for one of those. But Jonathan, Andre makes an excellent point about strategy. I mean, we don't need to, if we buy a new computer, if we upgrade our computer, yes, that's new capability, and yes, that's addressing a need where I see an opportunity, but we really need to sort of get in our helicopter and hover up into another orbit and realize that this is the whole direction of my company, not just one application.
That's exactly right. I mean, the really important thing is to develop your entire corporate culture around your ideas, because as the, you know, economy moves to an ideas-based economy, that has to be central to how you organize your business, and the value of your tables and chairs is inconsequential by comparison.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of the reason that people get Andre to consult with them is to better identify the values that they have, the value that they have inside of their business, and understand how to protect it.
Andre, while Jonathan mentioned your company, tell us about Aremi.
Aremi is a very small consulting firm, and what we do is we work with companies to try to set up a strategic understanding of how their technology is going to help them fulfill their goals, and that usually deals with building a plan around managing their intellectual property, putting that intellectual property with the right positioning in the marketplace, and ultimately leading them to investment, transaction, or an ongoing flow of high-margin business. That's essentially what we do.
And give us your website, please.
www.iremicorp.com, IRIMICORP.com.
And the book, Little Blues, is making progress, right?
It is making progress. Actually, we're almost done with that. We're now dealing with the intellectual property side.
We're going to turn that into a tangible asset this year.
Exactly.
There you go. Hey, guys, stand by. We're going to take a quick break. Jonathan, Andre, hang on. We're going to take a quick one, folks. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Whatever you do, don't go away. More to come after these messages.
It seems so good to see you back again. How long has it been?
We're back. 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friends Andre Carter, the CEO of Aremi and the author of Little Blues, an upcoming book. Also Jonathan Zook, who's the president of the Association for Competitive Technology and the guy who introduced me to Andre. And Jonathan, I don't know who introduced you to me, but I guess you need to go thank them for that. I need to find out who that is so you can do that. Jonathan, tell us about the Association for Competitive Technology.
Well, yes, Jim, I'm really do appreciate having been introduced to you, and I send a special little gift to the person who made that possible every year.
It's a dream come true, isn't it, Jonathan?
Yeah, it sure is. And the Association for Competitive Technology is an IT industry trade association in Washington, D.C., and so we advocate and educate policymakers on behalf of the IT industry, software companies, hardware, consulting, e-commerce companies, et cetera. But more and more of these issues have taken on a public face when it comes to things like identity theft and spam and issues that concern everyone. And so, you know, we have like an individual membership category that lets you just join as an individual just to stay abreast of these issues if you happen to be a user of technology. So it's always a good idea to find out where these things stand to go to actonline.org, actonline.org.
And that my audience knows that's the website I tell them about, because I tell them even if you don't think you're a technology producer, you are a technology consumer. And the things that you guys work on, Jonathan, are important for technology consumers, small business technology consumers. It's important for them too. So I encourage them to check you guys out and to join your organization. Guys, one of the things that I've taken on as one of my missions in life is to do whatever I can to help small business owners get access to the capital that they need. And Andre, as exciting as you and I and Jonathan agree on with this regard to our intellectual property journey, as exciting as that is, it does create a problem, and that is the fact that the more intellectual our assets become, the less the harder it is, the more difficult it is for those who provide us with capital, specifically banks.
Uh-huh.
It's that makes it that much more difficult for them to secure the collateral to make those loans. You cannot file a UCC. I've asked a number of banks, and nobody knows how to file a UCC on a website or on website content. And UCC, by the way, folks, is the way that it's like getting a first mortgage on your non-real estate assets. And so, concerned, Andre, about how small business owners are going to capitalize their intellectual property journey. You got any ideas?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think your point is a really good one. And I think, the financing for a particular business has to get specific. And, you know, if you're in a certain business, you probably want to work with institutions who funded that kind of business and then funded it at the stage that you're at. Because with intellectual property, when that's a part of businesses in a significant way, which it is for most businesses, perhaps what you're really looking for is not a bank loan, but really more of an investment. And that's why we've seen such amazing investment spikes in the last 10 to 12 years.
But you know, Andre, and that's that money, that investment money, not only is not as easy to get, loan typically should be, but it also brings more baggage or obligation with it, different obligation that we might not be comfortable with. We just want a bank loan. We don't want a partner.
True. And that's the interesting part, is that's why I mentioned the notion of stages, because if you're very early on, and you've got just the idea, then you really are looking for some sort of investment. But if you can take that idea, give it value, give it hooks into the real world, right? Get a tangible market, perhaps some sort of a prototype or example of what you're talking about. Secure the rights. Because those things begin to have value. Once you've got a patent, once you've got a trademark that's recognized, that's been in use, then you've got something that the bank has some notion of.
Let me stop you, Andre, because we've got to wrap it up, and I want to go
sorry.
To Jonathan first. Jonathan, Andre's talking about something I invent, but what about just regular business assets, intellectual property? See, that's the problem, I think.
Well, I mean, I think there's an education that has to take place. And to be honest, it's not just the banks that don't understand the nature of this property, but the businesses themselves.
You're right.
And I think the more that we help to educate small businesses on what intellectual property they have and what value proposition they have within their business, the better able they'll be able to educate the bankers or the investors to take a chance, because they know their own business better.
Well said.
And that's really what a banker's looking for.
Well said, Jonathan. And you and Andre have helped us do that very thing today. Andre, thank you for being here. Andre Carter, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Zook, thank you for being here, both of you guys. I'll see you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Avenue. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.